Good morning. Good morning. We'll be joined by the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitch, at 11 o'clock. This hour is going to be very important, though. I don't know. We started doing this a while ago. Governor Healey, with her combined municipal allies, really, Governor Wu in Boston, who wants to get rid of Proposition 2.5. Understand, Proposition 2.5 is the only reason, or one of the reasons, you, your friends, your families, your neighbors can afford to own private property. It's a cap on how much you can be charged by your local government for property taxes, including your auto excise tax. So that means you may, maybe you don't own a home yet. You're a renter, but you have an automobile. You know that bill you get every year from your municipality, city of New Bedford, town of Fairhaven, town of Dartmouth? It can only be 2.5% of their value of your vehicle, right? So there's a cap. It's 2.5%. Look at the bill. It'll all make sense to you now, all right? It'll all make sense. Same thing with your home. But here's the thing. Mayor Wu of Boston wants to do away with the Proposition 2.5 cap. Governor Healey wants to do away with the Proposition 2.5 cap on your auto excise tax. Now, we defeated it last time around. We got Senator Montigny on board early on. Chris Markey, state representative. Christopher Hendricks, state representative. The Republicans, they were already on board. They're coming again. They are coming again, led by Governor Healey. You got to get Fairhaven, Mattapoisett, Marion, Acushnet, the north end of New Bedford. You've got to reach out to your state representative. Reach out to your state senator. I'm going to play a little clip here from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. Now, they took over for Citizens for Limited Taxation. Barbara Anderson, Chip Ford, Chip Faulkner, God rest some of their souls. Now, today, we have the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. This is a brief clip from YouTube, just came out a few minutes ago. Hopefully you've been following along with Mass Fiscal Alliance. Here it is. They're talking about Governor Healey. Pay attention. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to play this clip, then I'll go to the phone. Stick around.
We're with Mass Fiscal, and we're the reason Governor Mari Healey was a no-show to testify on behalf of her bill to raise taxes at the local level.
Is she hiding?
Excuse me, Mr. Secretary, how come the governor wasn't here today to testify on behalf of that bill?
I'm not sure. You'd have to check with her office.
In March, Matthew Gorkowicz, Secretary of Finance, was joined by the governor to talk about her budget that included a tax increase on prescriptions and a new tax on candy.
Stupid taxes.
Thanks to you, our videos generated millions of views, and Mass Fiscal's call to action resulted in the defeat of those tax hikes. But now Healey wants to give municipalities the power to raise taxes on meals, hotels, and vehicles. Your vehicle excise tax bill could see an additional 5% surcharge.
They took half of my money away for taxes.
We urge you to contact your legislative leaders and the governor to tell them they need to responsibly cut inflated spending at the state level to free up money for cities and towns and not turn to tax increases.
So that is what's happening at the State House, all right? So it is urgent for everybody. Look, here's the deal. On this Massachusetts Empowerment, Municipality Empowerment Act that the governor is putting forward with a very Orwellian name, another feature of that law and we talked about it last time around, is that should you not be able to afford the auto excise tax, they're going to make it easier and quicker to take your ability to drive away. That's the insidious part of the auto excise tax, is the enforcement mechanism is through your driver's license, okay? You lose your driver's license, that's a trip to the criminal justice system. That's a world you don't want to be part of, all right? In other words, if you, or God forbid, your kids, you know, just entering the workforce, whatever, you can't afford the auto excise tax that the governor wants to raise or give the opportunity for selectmen, mayors, city councilors to raise, along with the ability to take your driver's license, it could enter you into a world of hurt. So you need right now, for the good of your neighbor, the good of your family, the good of your local economy, to reach out to your state representatives. We all have different ones. So you're going to take a little research, look it up by your zip code. You can go to the city, the Secretary of State's office, put in your zip code. It'll tell you who your representative is, who your senator is. In most cases, it's either Kelly Dooner, Senator Montigny, or Senator Rodericks, right? Senator Rodericks, Fall River, Freetown, Rochester, Senator Montigny, Acushnet, Fairhaven, New Bedford, Dartmouth, Mattapoisett. Senator Dooner is Marion, Wareham, Taunton, Carver, Dighton, Rehoboth. But anyway, if you don't know, figure it out and make a phone call. Say you've got to vote against increasing the auto excise tax and all the rest of the stuff. And also, reach out to your mayors. Reach out to your city councilors. Tell them. Reach out to your selectmen. You don't want them to increase the auto excise tax, even to have the ability to do it. That's wrong. All right. It's kind of open phones. We'll have the mayor at 11 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Good. You know, something interesting that happened today, it kind of floored me and my wife, and it goes along with not only the Proposition 2.5, but it goes along with what you were talking about before the news break on home prices and being able to purchase. Mm-hmm. And I heard President Trump talking about making it more affordable for people to buy homes, but he took the angle that that we should be promoting 40 and 50 year mortgages. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I looked at each other and we're like, who the hell is going to live about 50 years paying for, you know, it's tough. You know, first thing is people don't stay in the same area. I mean, college kids move to where the jobs are and, you know, they're the job changing. Like when I got out of college, they said, oh, you're going to change your jobs 8 times. Well, I told my dad that, who was born in 1917. And he was like, that's crazy. He said, I only had one job my whole life. I worked in the Navy. That was it. And now it's like even more. I mean, I don't know. You're probably into 15 job jumps. So who's going to stay in one house for 50 years? So like the whole home ownership thing, if you can't drive the prices down, so you're in a 30-year mortgage, because I remember it was a 20-year mortgages were popular in the 70s, mm-hmm. and then it turned to 30. But now you have the president of the United States talking about 40 and 50-year mortgages, but that doesn't address the pricing. I mean, I mean, you might as well just get a rental I don't know. It's a very weird scenario. And if something like that happens, it's going to change a lot in America, you know?
No, I agree with you. Thanks for the call, my friend. It will change it. But, you know, one of the other proposals that's out there is a lot of people have so much equity in their property. The reason they're not moving, not only because they have a very low mortgage and the money's almost free compared with inflation, but also because they're afraid of the capital gains when you move out of the house. So maybe trying to do something with the capital gains taxes, reducing them so that people can absorb the hit or don't have to absorb the hit in taxes. So when they sell a house that's appreciated so much, they don't have to give most of the money to Uncle Sam. So there's a lot they can do. I don't know if the 50-year mortgage is the right direction to move in. I really don't. But it's good to get that conversation going, right? We certainly need innovative fixes, right? All right. Kind of open phones. What's on your mind? I want to hear it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
On the Prop 2.5 or the Municipal Empowerment Act thing, when people call or email their legislators, they also need to, and I beat this drum before, they also need to emphasize the fact that we are underfunded with regards to local aid.
Yes.
Unrestricted general government aid. We're taking a beating on that, and they're trying to eliminate Prop 2.5 when in actuality, all they need to do is give us back more of our money.
Yes.
So, that two fronts on that. You know, the Municipal Empowerment Act, defeat that, but also have all the local municipal government tell the legislators, we want more money back in the form of local aid. I think that would go a long way to help a lot of the deficits that these cities and towns are experiencing.
No, I agree with you. And the mayor of New Bedford put out a really articulate letter. I'm sure it's still up at their website talking about that. And I've asked Andrew Saunders here in Fairhaven, thank you for the call, my friend, about unrestricted government aid. Guys, they took away the legislature, not the local guys. I'll give you an example. Marijuana. All right. We passed it with the idea that it was going to be all coming back in local receipts. The legislature stole that money. They literally did. They changed the law after we gave out the permits, the local level, for the marijuana. They took it all away. So, for instance, I know the budget in Fairhaven took a $400,000 annual hit. The money is still there, just going to the state now, not to the town of Fairhaven. Lakeville, similar. New Bedford, probably more. All the local communities that gave marijuana licenses, then the legislature came in and took the money. So, unrestricted government aid, that gentleman's correct. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning, thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
Good, doing well. How are you doing, Barry?
Good, good. Chris, just for your listening audience, and I'm up in Boston quite a bit, but next time any of you travel to the city of Boston where Michelle Wu is, pay attention to how many houses are listed for sale. Also, pay attention to how many large buildings have open space, open office space. So since COVID, people are working from home.
Right.
Everything's for sale in Boston. She's got a problem that it's going to be occupied and people aren't going to be paying these taxes. They're looking to get rid of Prop 2.5 because of the mass exodus out of Boston, number one. Number two, Chris, do you know what the average length of a mortgage is now? With the timeline.
I'm not quizzing you.
It's between 3 and 5 years. That's the average length of a mortgage. And it was on Fox News this morning. It's kind of funny how you're bringing this up in your show. The average age of the mortgage person taking a mortgage now, they're all baby boomers. It's 59 years old. 59 years old is the average age of a person taking a mortgage. What does that tell my children and your listening audience's children?
Well, they've got a long life ahead of them, right? In other words, there is some optimism to that, isn't there? That you're taking a mortgage at 59 years old, it means you believe you'll have the disposable the income to pay for it, and you'll be able to be a viable person later in life. That's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it basically says, Chris, that younger people are not qualifying or buying houses. If the average age of a person closing on a house right now is 59 years old, 20 years ago, it was 40.
I tell you what, Barry, I got to look deeper into that. And thanks for the call, my friend, because I wonder if that includes second homes. Right? You know, you're buying, you've already got a first home. Now you're 59, you're buying a second home. maybe a third home. I know people do that as well. Not me, but people do it. That's interesting, right? Really interesting. So maybe because I have to look at that, really, because maybe my optimism goes, well, hey, that's great. People are still out there buying things at 59 years old. But I think maybe Barry's analysis is maybe more spot on. I don't know. That's new information to me. I see you on hold, but I can take a break. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-05.
You know, it's one thing to steal the keys to your dad's car and even blow out the speakers with the radio, right? But you can't have a cracked windshield. You got to get that windshield repaired. You've absolutely got to get that windshield repaired. It's dangerous. It's unsightly. And you can do that with Citywide Glass. Citywide Glass, you don't have to go to them. They'll come to you. Citywide Glass has a mobile tech team that goes all over the place. They'll come to your work parking lot. They'll come to your home. They'll come to your dad's girlfriend's home and fix the windshield if you happen to get in that scenario. All you got to do, go to citywideglass.net or give them a call. They're in Dartmouth and Fall River. Get that cracked windshield repaired today. The mobile tech team will come out to you. Won't cost you an additional dime. All insurance is accepted by Citywide Glass. Give them a call in Fall River. Give them a call in Dartmouth. Go to their website, citywideglass.net. Let's go back to the phones. Kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Mr. McCarthy.
What's happening?
Hey, you touched on something a few minutes back, and I looked it up while I was on hold. You mentioned capital gains. The 1997 Taxpayer Relief Act established the $250,000 per individual, $500,000 per married couple exemption on a primary home residence exemption and capital gains, right?
Okay.
That was 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago. Those numbers haven't changed. And the difference in what we sell our houses and buy our houses for today compared to 28 years ago is unbelievably different. And that never was indexed for inflation, those exemptions.
They were not.
They were not. It's still the same.
So
it's still the same.
I'll give an example. Like a starter home in Westport, I was reading the other day, and I've had developers in here. It's around $800,000.
Right. So that's a big multiple on what it was 28 years ago. And the thing about it is, if you raise that exemption, that would ease the hurdle for people to sell. It would stimulate the economy. It would get things moving again. I think those should be raised to reflect the modern housing prices.
Yeah.
I think that would help to stimulate the economy quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do. And thanks for the call and thanks for the information on that. I have a great audience. I really do. All of you guys know so much more, really, than I do. But just when you start going along, again, I don't have a research department here, and I don't have any staff here in the booth. And obviously, you can hear that all the staff is outside blowing leaves, which is really helpful to the program. But hey, work has to get done, right? It's not the guy's fault. He doesn't know that I'm doing a radio show just behind the glass, and his boss probably doesn't know that either. But everybody has to do a job. Mine goes on. The leaf blower guy's job goes on. But yeah, I agree with the caller, and that part of any sort of real understanding of the real estate market has to take inflation, real dollars, tax policy, all into account. By the way, I'm getting a tip now from a friend of mine in the Boston media that Governor Healey, this is a fresh tip, Governor Healey, and I'll tell my legislative friends who are listening, because I know a lot of them are, apparently the governor is considering enacting some of the special powers of the governor to be able to cut the budget unilaterally in anticipation of the fact that her war on the federal government is going to result in loss in federal aid to the states. Very interesting, right? Governor Healey's declared war on Donald Trump, which seems to me you got to be able to get along, right? But whatever. She's more politician than she is statesman. So, 508-996-0500. We don't know what that'll mean, but look for an announcement coming out. I get this from a friend of mine at the Boston Herald, who should be in here pretty soon, because since he lives locally, he should be here pretty soon. Really proud of a friend of mine who's taking a big job at the Boston Herald. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
You know, Neil, the other reason why people can't buy a house here in Massachusetts is because of the high utility bills.
Yes.
Through the roof. And according to the Mass Fiscal, they put out something on October 6th of this year that Governor Maura Healey admitted to, the net zero mandate will cost roughly $25 billion in this the grid upgrades alone. And according to the ISO New England put out their 2024 economic study, and they said it's going to an estimated cost of $250 to $300 billion for solar fields, wind turbines, battery storage stations that we're all going to pay for.
The ISO is the grid operator, so people don't know. That's the grid operator.
Yeah, you know, and they also put out a regional system plan of New England. They put out a draft this early this month. Do you know that Massachusetts is paying into this clean energy future? We're going to pay $405 billion from now till 2050. And Maura Healey, she received $45,000, according to the ESMP, she received $45,000 from Eversource employees for her governor campaign. And the CEO, Joseph Nolan of Eversource, he was getting $19 million a year. He got a raise, $8 million a year because of record profits. So we're paying into this program for battery storage stations that have not yet been built, solar fields that are yet to be built, wind turbines and this infrastructure that are still yet to be built. And we don't even know if this is even going to come to fruition.
Well, we hope it doesn't.
Joseph Nolan got a raise, $8 million raise because of record profits.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Look, guys, I think, and again, I understand why. I don't think our anger or concerns should be directed towards Eversource. They have to follow the law. They're a publicly traded company. They have to follow state and federal laws, local laws, obviously. It is the legislature. The legislature, full of all politicians, supermajority Democrats, they laundered their religion, Green New Deal. The way you take the Holy Eucharist, they take New Green Deal, right? That is their Eucharist. They take communion together, the New Green Deal. They laundered it through the electric company, through the gas company, in the form of mandates on those corporations, so that therefore they wouldn't get the blame, but the men and women of the power company, which, by the way, they're doing the good work, right? It's the legislatures, the parasites. They're parasites. They're parasites. And they launder their religion, Green New Deal, through the bill that the power company sends us. It's not the men and women of Eversource, from the clerk to the person that answers your phone, to certainly the linemen that risk their lives during storms to keep us in Netflix and Nintendo and our iPhones charged. The executives who make the whole thing work, they're not the villains here. I get that caller's point, and it's a good one. But I do want everyone to remember, we voted for this, and you can change it. Every other year, the legislature comes up. The entire Senate, state Senate, the entire House of Representatives, right? The guy who represents Fairhaven, you can change it. The guy who represents Wareham, you can change it. The guy who represents Dartmouth, you can change it. It changes every 2 years if we want it to. Think about that. All of these policies, could be, the people who enacted them could be kicked out and replaced with brand new people. And if they don't make the proper reforms, the proper decisions, you could kick them out. Focus on what is, in fact, the solution to the problem. Changing the names, the personalities in the legislature. Now, you want to keep some too, right? Keep them. Keep some institutional knowledge, but maybe make some changes. Maybe make some changes. All right. By the way, you got to make some changes with your automobile. You got to winterize it. Get it ready for this cold weather. I recommend Mack Auto Sales, a family-owned business right in the city of New Bedford. Mack Auto Sales repairs all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming cold weather, and I'm sure you do, call Mack Auto Sales and Repair. Make an appointment today, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5 for your convenience. Mention WBSM. You get a 10% discount on your bill. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Oh, my friend. You know, they're birds of a feather. You know, National Grid, EverPay, you know, the legislature, they're all in cahoots with one another, my friend. And something has to be done to get power cheaper. That's one thing that Trump is right about. If you want to have success, you got to have a cheap source of power. And if you don't have that, you're basically out of luck. They are a monopoly, too, or a virtual monopoly, put it that way, since, you know, National Grid are... EverPay, take your choice.
Well, you can only have one set of wires, right? I mean, you can't have wires from all different companies. So, in that respect, it is in everyone's interest that they have a monopoly. But you're correct about it.
Yeah. Well, again, something has to be done that even though they have a monopoly, you have more control over what the price of power is, because Trump is right on that. He's absolutely right. You know, you're going to need more and more power with this AI stuff. And if you don't do something about it, whether it's getting control of the legislature or getting control of National Grid and Eversource, you got big problems. I got nothing with the worker bee that goes up on the line. Let's face it. You're using them as for sympathy. But as far as the suits and the ties and the sport coats guys, those are the guys that got problems with.
The legislature.
Well, yeah, and it's the people that are running the power companies too. That's to be a big change on how that's done. But let's go back to buying homes.
Yes.
One thing with Trump I don't understand is the 50-year mortgage. Are you kidding me? By the time you've got it paid off, you'll be ready to go under.
Well, I think, because I was in the mortgage, and thanks to the call, I was in the mortgage business years ago, and mostly refis, things like that. But everybody's got a different set of circumstances, and there's different products for everybody. I think it's good to create additional products. And nothing is perfect for everybody, right? That's why you need additional products. What works for you may not work for me. And obviously, that's the case across the board. More products, I think, is good. More variety, choice, all of that. so that it fits different circumstances. I thought that was an interesting statistic by my friend Barry Sylvia, that the average person only stays with that particular mortgage for 3 to 4 years. That's very interesting, right? All right, I'm going to take a break and we'll be back. Remember, the mayor of New Bedford will be here at 11 o'clock. Stick around, we'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSN.
That's right. Two tickets anywhere but Massachusetts. Actually, I love Massachusetts. I really do. We're a great state. But we need, I think, new leadership, really, at the local level. I got to tell you something. Very impressed recently. There's some things going on in the cushion. I've talked about them the last couple of days with the school department out there and the building of the new old colony, potentially the building of the new old colony, or whether the people of Acushnet are going to break up with Fairhaven. Breaking up is hard to do. They've been together since 1906. But anyway, in an effort to get more information, who did I reach out to? Jesse St. Gelais. I reached out to Jesse St. Gelais. He left me a message and sent me a really good text message with all kinds of details. I was very impressed with that. Look, I like Jesse quite a bit personally. He reached out to me when I was sick on behalf of the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick. And I knew him socially anyway, but I thought it was really a tremendous gentleman for doing that. And then I was really happy when he ran for the legislature. Owns a small business, family man, property owner, owns a couple of properties, actually. And kind of guy we could use in the legislature, quite frankly. So when I reached out to him, and he gave me detailed information, I was very impressed. In other words, he knows what's going on, and hopefully he's going to come back around. I hope he does seek public office again. A lot of people, look, it doesn't always work the first time you do it. Look at Leo Choquette in Ward 1. Ian Abreu, top vote getter. He didn't make it the first time. You know, a lot of people don't talk about Biff McLean didn't get elected the first time. Chris McCarthy didn't get elected the first time. Other people do, but sometimes it takes a while. Look at Brian Gomes. He's had a hell of a run. He didn't make it the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, but he didn't give up. Came back, came back, came back. Sometimes that's what it takes. You know, guys like Sean Oliver get in right away. Guys like Mark Montigny get in right away. But sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, right? But we, the constituents, the voters, we have to sometimes get hit over the head really hard, right? Before we say, hey, that's a really good man or a woman. Look at Kelly Dooner. She didn't make it the first time. Didn't give up. Went out and knocked on, and I believe her, 10,000 doors. All she heard about were the migrants. The illegal immigration, the migrants, and utility bills, right? And people responded to her and put her in the legislature. Every 2 years, we get an opportunity. Had enough Fairhaven. Had enough Westport. Had enough Acushnet. Had enough Freetown. We can do something about it. You as an individual can run. You as an individual can get behind a candidate. Maybe a Joe Pyers here in Fairhaven or Rochester. A Jesse St. Gelais in Acushnet or Westport, Freetown. A Senator Dooner. A Senator Montigny. Whoever it is. Get behind him. Help him out. Put a couple of bucks into the campaign or get out there on the weekends knocking on doors for him. Look, I make a lot of criticisms of the Coalition for Social Justice. But they get out there and preach their message to people, and sometimes they don't even preach a message. They just correspond by knocking on doors and giving out information, name ID information. People have no idea who they're voting for, really, or what they stand for, but they'll find out soon enough, I do believe. We'll take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around. The mayor will be here at 11 o'clock. I learned from Eddie Money. You get one more chance. I know I messed up, but you get one more chance. What a good line. And the problem for me with my communication skills with women is that I go for the joke. I go for the repeating an Eddie Money line far too often than I probably should. But that's my life. I only got one of them to live. Fortunately, there's a lot of girls out there. You know, it's funny. I was getting dressed this morning, pulled a sweater out of my closet, and I realized the girl who gave this to me gave the sweater I'm wearing. Now, it's in really good condition. In 2010 or 11, something like that. And thank God for Facebook. I guess I'm still in contact with her if I want to be. But everything I ever learned about communicating with women, I learned from Eddie Money. Eddie Mahoney. He uses a fake name. That's another thing I learned. Give him a fake name off the bat. 508-996-0. I'm joking around, obviously. Well, kind of. I have a friend of mine. He doesn't live in Massachusetts anymore. Sam Kennedy. And when he and I traveled around together, particularly on the Vineyard, Nantucket, and the Cape, we were over the age of 21. He'd give his ID and they'd look at the name. They thought he was a member of the Kennedy family, which I guess technically he was. His dad's a Kennedy. And that meant that maybe I was a member of the Kennedy family. And we never dissuaded them from believing that. Maybe, in fact, these girls from out of town here on the Cape or Nantucket or the Vineyard had finally encountered a member of the Kennedy family or a couple of members of the Kennedy family. Anyway,